What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, May 23rd, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. I hope you all had a glorious, albeit very wet and rainy, Thursday. Just a gross day weather-wise, but the good news is today is Friday. It looks like the rain is going to hold off for the whole weekend. Hopefully you get to go out, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, whether you're driving down the shore, whether you're at the shore, just hanging in. I hope you all have a great Memorial Day weekend, maybe a four-day weekend, maybe a three-day weekend, but I hope you all enjoy it. Let's get into the Eagles news of the day as more details from the Eagles' victory in Minnesota, where they keep the tush push part of the part of their playbook for the 2025 season. More details are starting to come out. When we talked about the tush push last, we knew that Lurie was a big part of it. We knew that Kelsey had showed up to the meeting and done a lot to make that happen. We know the Eagles put out a really big effort. We now know a little bit more about what Lurie said. So this is according to The Athletic, Diana Russini, who I think does a great job. This is according to her. She writes, "One high-ranking league source who was in the room said, Lurie was like a guy trying to convince his girlfriend why she shouldn't leave him. Throughout his pitch, Lurie was emotional, passionate, and at one point, crude. He said the fact that his team came up with a play so unstoppable that the rest of the league had no other choice but to try to ban it was like, quote, a wet dream for a teenage boy, end quote. Towards the end of his address, he told the assembled owners that, regardless of the day's result, he and his franchise would walk out winners with the Super Bowl rings to show for it." So, a lot to take away from that first part about Jeffrey Lurie. First, let's talk about the crude part. Like, look, maybe not the best analogy to use in a professional setting. Maybe not the best analogy to use, like, around a bunch of owners. I get that. I think the heart of what he's saying, analogy aside, like, is true. The fact that they came up with a play that was so good you have to ban it, like, that is the point of designing a play. I know all plays are not supposed to go for a touchdown. Like, some plays you just design to get a yard, like this play we're talking about. But regardless, most plays are designed to hopefully not be stopped, right? And so for the Eagles to come up with a play that is so good that the only way they could stop this play is to ban it, that is like a dream come true for a play designer. In terms of Sirianni, Steichen, Kellen Moore, Jeff Stoutland, the offensive linemen are involved, Jalen, like, they all together came up with something and perfected something to the point that the only way for the league to stop it was to ban it. That is a dream come true. I don't know if I would compare it to what he compared it to, but regardless, I think the heart of what he is saying is true. Is he got to stand up there and be like, all you, like, none of you guys could do this. Like, we came up with this. We came up with the play that's so good. You guys have to ban it to stop it. So, a little bit of flexing there. Then, towards the end of his address, as it says in this passage, he basically says he and his franchise would walk out winners with Super Bowl rings to show for it. And I've seen this kind of phrased another way, where it was a win-win for him. If he won the vote, which he did, and the tush push stayed, then he gets to keep the tush push. If he didn't win the vote, and the tush push is banned, he walks out with the feather in the cap of knowing that his team designed a play that could only be stopped by banning it, and they have the Super Bowl ring to show for it. So, kind of a funny thing to say prior to the vote. You know, this feels like maybe although he won, so maybe it is. Maybe my strategy wouldn't have been as good. But it seems like flexing on them and bragging about it, maybe not the best way to sway voters, but hey, it worked. And, you know, I think it's good to see Lurie, like, flex a little bit, show some personality. Of all, like, the major figureheads at the Eagles, I'm around Lurie the least, I would say. He just doesn't talk very much. Get a chance to normally spend some time with him at the annual meetings, but he's not, like, a guy that's around a bunch. Like, I'm around Nick, Howie, Jalen, like, the other main guys quite a bit. Lurie, I think, you know, showing this personality is maybe a little bit of a change for him. He's always, I think, especially over the past few years, been a little, like, reserved. He never really had, like, crazy quotes or anything. And I know this was in a private setting, but it would have been easy for him to just kind of sit back and be like, hey, if you take the play, you take it, it is what it is. Like, he stood up there and flexed. And I think Eagles fans will really enjoy that. I got into, I would say, a heated debate with Rhea Hughes on the morning show about whether Josh Harris was a good owner, great owner, bad owner. And stuff like this, is what makes a great owner. I do think Josh Harris is a good owner, but stuff like this is what makes a great owner. Like going above and beyond for your team and frankly doing it with the same type of passion and argument that a fan might. Like we talk a lot about Nick being the closest that Eagles fans will ever get to one of them on the sideline, like a fan running the team emotion-wise. I think Lurie kind of defended this like a fan would, being like, we did something you couldn't do. We're the Super Bowl champs. Do what you will. So I think Lurie clearly did a good job and won over the votes. But the more that's come out, it does seem like Jason Kelce was maybe the star of the show and one of the main reasons that the tush push will be in the Eagles playbook in 2025. So this is once again, according to Diana Russini. So she writes, Kelce was up next. He spent his entire playing career with the Eagles, retiring after the 2023 season, and ran the tush push countless times over his final two seasons. On Wednesday, he wasn't loud and animated, instead offering his expertise as an all-pro center and arguing for why the play should remain in the game. He told the room, if I could run 60 tush pushes a game, I'd come back, end quote. So that part for sure is in there because I guess there was some type of speculation or an owner made a point that one of the reasons Kelce retired was the tush push. And I think Kelce clearly went there to make it clear that is not the case. But I do think hearing from a guy that's run to play a ton, if you're truly in that meeting with an open mind and you don't already want to ban it so the Eagles can't run it or want to ban it because you've been public about wanting it. Like if you were truly in that meeting with an open mind, hearing from somebody that's probably impacted by the tush push more than anybody else, like the center, he's in the middle, he hikes the ball, like he is like one of the key, if not the key piece of the thing. For him to say it's not that taxing on his body, I think that's a very compelling point. And obviously they compelled enough people where by two votes, they end up keeping the tush push. So it's clear that the Eagles showed up in that meeting, did a good job making their argument for it. And yeah, you know, we talked on the Daily Pod on Thursday, like I think they should build a statue of the play. I know I'm loose with like the banners, right? Like I would put a banner up for MVP. I am a fan of like showing the history of the franchise in a lot of different ways in the stadium. That's why I think an MVP banner is fine. Like I'm not gatekeeping banners, right? With statues, it's the same thing. Like the tush push is such a huge, unique part of this team's history. Huge is maybe strong, but it's such a unique thing for this team. No other team is attached to this play the way the Eagles are. And them defending it like that, I think speaks to like they view it as a feather in their cap and an important part of it. So I thought that was some cool details as to what happened in that meeting. I saw this on the tush push and I had to play it. And I just think like, it is such a red flag for this guy as a head coach. So Ben Johnson, the Chicago Bears' new head coach, the former Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, was asked about the tush push. And you kind of have to watch the video too, because like the smugness on his face, I think you'll find infuriating, but also the way he talks about it. So here's Ben Johnson asked about the tush push.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
So like, yeah, bro, we get it. It's not an explosive play, but it is a critically important play. The Eagles have won so many games because of converting on third and fourth and short, both in the middle of the field for a fresh set of downs and at the end zone for a touchdown. I would call a touchdown an explosive, important play. I know it is not explosive in the way Ben Johnson is talking about it, but the like the dismissal of it, I think, is A, like extremely arrogant for somebody that has not accomplished anything as a head coach in the NFL. It definitely has like a holier-than-thou thing. Like they can worry about that over there. Over here, we worry about what wins. As you know, a head coach that's won zero games in the NFL and is taking over a franchise that's been historically terrible for the past 10 plus years. But like, no, they can worry about the tush push. So I think like from a head coaching perspective, there is an arrogance there that I don't find becoming or I don't find a good quality in a head coach, right? So there's that. But then I also think it, if I'm like an owner, the Bears owner, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm hearing this and thinking, I certainly hope you don't actually treat short yarded situational football this way. And I'm not saying the Eagles like figured it out and what, but one thing Nick really does well is he focuses on the little details of a game and the Eagles excel at those things, right? We've had this conversation so many times where Nick doesn't, I think at least, my belief is Nick doesn't believe you win games with like crazy play design and like smoke and mirrors and stuff. You win games by being the better team in situational football and not making a ton of mistakes. If Ben Johnson, and we saw this in Detroit, like he will do things where he'll have his offensive tackle throw the ball. He'll have his offensive tackle go out for a swing pass. He'll do all types, like his receiver, you know, throw the ball. Ben Johnson is, I think, more into Mike McDaniel's thing of like, I will out-scheme you as a head coach. And I don't think that's how you win. Now, you need great players for both. And I think for Knicks, you probably need better players than you do if you try to like be tricky with smoke and mirrors. But you only have to be tricky with smoke and mirrors if you don't have great players. So I just feel like his whole aura about this answer is just super unbecoming, I think. And it's not even like an Eagles thing. I just think to be so dismissive of what's clearly been a critical play for the Eagles winning and is a critical part of winning in football, which is converting on short yardage, I think it's a bad look for Ben Johnson and the Bears. Okay, so on the other side, WIP this week has been lucky enough to get some of the rookies on the radio station. And I know we heard from the rookies at press conferences, but it's just better, I think, when you get them on the radio. They're not up there in front of all the reporters. They're not in front of the cameras. They get to, I think, be themselves a little bit more. So as you guys know, Jahad Campbell was on the radio station. Check that out in the feed. It should be in the feed by now. If not, it'll be in there at some point today. So Jahad Campbell was on. We're definitely going to have that there. But on Thursday, Ty Robinson, the rookie defensive tackle out of Nebraska, was on the station. And I got to be honest, like, I just think Hugh Douglas getting a chance to interview these rookies is so good. Like, Hugh is so good at getting people to show their personality, ask interesting questions, like get them. I do the players lounge with them, right? And the players are so used to hearing certain types of questions that when Hugh comes out and the first question, which you'll hear is like, so how much does a camel cost? I just love his ability to get people to show their true personality. So on the other side, we are going to play the interview with Ty Robinson with Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio on the morning show. So that'll be on the other side. I hope you all enjoy your weekend. That'll be it for me until Monday. We'll have a brand new Go Birds Daily for you, breaking down the 90-man roster for the first time since then. But on the other side, enjoy Ty Robinson. And as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later. And now a word from our sponsors.
A new company joins us right now. Eagles rookie defensive tackle Ty Robinson joins us on the midday show. Ty, with Joe and Hugh, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, you want me to go first, Joe? Well, I was going to let you go first because I got questions for you, Ty, that they probably ain't got nothing
all
to do with football.
I'll start us then. Ty, welcome to Philadelphia. How has your first month been as a pro and a Philadelphia Eagle?
It's been awesome, man. I've been taking it each day in. Been enjoying the process and getting to know the guys and you know, get the playbook down.
You want me to go? Because, like, I want to hit him with the questions that I have, Joe. I'm telling you.
You know what? You can't. You teased it twice. Just hit him
okay.
with it. What do you
Ty,
got?
How did you get the nickname, the Vanilla Gorilla?
Now we're getting to the good stuff.
Yeah, we go. I got some more for you, Ty, so just be prepared. You want a rapid fire or you want them one at a time?
One at a time is good for me. Okay. For the nickname, my uncle had gotten me like this sweatshirt. I don't even know where from. It's this little cheap sweatshirt that had Vanilla Gorilla on it. And I wore it around the stadium one day, not even thinking twice about it. And my head athletic trainer at the time, you know, just thought it was the funniest thing ever. And so he just started calling me it, and it just kind of spread around the building. And it just kind of, you know, stuck.
That sounds like Chris, because, you know, as a matter of fact, I had a chance to talk to him, and he speaks very, very highly of you. Now, here's my second question for you, Ty, is how much does a camel cost? Well, this is a two-part question. How much does a camel cost? Well, three-part. Let me get one? No. I just want to know because this is fascinating to me. How much does a camel cost? Why do you have a camel? And what do you feed a camel?
Yeah, so, you know, truth be told, the camel's not actually mine. It was our neighbors who you needed space to kind of put it in our pasture because he didn't have enough room on his land. Mm-hmm. And so I came home one day and I just saw a camel in my, you know, backyard in my pasture. And I like thought my eyes were kind of playing a trick on me. And I walked out there and I was like, holy crap. There's a real camel back here. And so I ended up like calling my mom and I'm asking like, you do know there's a camel in our backyard? And she's like, yes, yes, I know. It's Justin's, our neighbor's. So, you know, for the price wise, I would assume a couple grand, you know. I feel like it'd be pretty hard to get out there in Arizona. And as for feed, I mean, you know, pellets mainly and some hay. I mean, they're basically like horses.
Okay.
Just a different type, I guess.
you know what's funny, Ty, as I talk to you, like I said, I got a chance to talk to some people out there that know you, and you don't sound like the way that you play. You know, and what I mean by that is because when I asked about you, I was told that you are real nasty when you get between the lines on that football field, man, and you play like you're different. So where does that come from? Is it something that you do to channel that energy on game day, or is that just, you know, you're like the Incredible Hulk, you're like Bruce Banner, you're like Bruce Banner in the daytime and you turn into Hulk at night? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean that's a great, you know, kind of analogy for it. Yeah, I mean just flipping that switch on, you know, just getting myself like primed and ready for the game. You know, I just feel like I just got this chip on my shoulder 24/7, and you know, I'm just trying to, you know, prove why I belong out there on the field, no matter who it is against me. Because you know, everyone thinks there's always someone better, which is, you know, it may be true, but in my eyes, I'm gonna prove why, you know, I'm a competitor and I'm a tough challenger.
I got one more question, Ty, because it's fascinating talking to you and getting the chance to talk to you. Because you're a big-ass dude, man. And to hear you talk like you – why do you have a chip on your shoulder that you have to go out there and prove that you belong? Because it seems to me like when you were growing up, you probably were one of the biggest kids that was out there playing anyway.
I don't know. It's just something natural in me, I guess, just the competitive nature. You know, it's the same reason why I love playing baseball. You know, being a pitcher, I mean, being up there on that mound, you know, you basically go against the whole team. You know, the whole game kind of relies on you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you decide to throw a good game or, you know, you throw a bad game, you got to deal with all the consequences, you know, along with the reward. So things just like that kind of like adrenaline rush, you know, pressure, stress, like, you know, it's awesome to be able to thrive in that type of environment.
Eagles rookie defensive tackle Ty Robinson joining us here on the Midday Show. Ty, take us back to draft night, draft weekend for you. You get the call from the Philadelphia Eagles. What's that like, you know, getting drafted, not just to the NFL, but by the defending Super Bowl champions?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was awesome. You know, I threw a little, family gathering on Friday. You know, really thought I was going to go that day. But, you know, at the end of the day, I kept telling my agent, I was like, you know, all I need to do is get in. I don't really care when and how I get in, you know, as long as I get drafted. So, you know, knowing that, it was a pretty quick phone call there in the morning. You know, my heart dropped. I was, you know, nervous, anxious, excited, so, like just all these emotions floated over. Stepped outside, got to talk to Howie. I think my service wasn't very good because I kept talking and he would just talk over me. So I don't know if we could hear each other or not. But just knowing that, you know, that kind of respect and, you know, them thinking that, you know, I can come in on a reigning Super Bowl champ team and, you know, contribute or be a part of it and somehow, you know, that makes me very prideful and very proud to be a part of an organization that believes in me that way.
So what's your favorite part of what you do and your role on the field? Because, you know, defensive tackle, you think run stuffer, but you had 7 sacks last year, which tells me you get after the quarterback
after
as well.
Bit.
So what's your favorite part when you're out there? Is it getting, you know, stuffing the run and taking down a running back, or is it getting after that quarterback? What's your favorite part about being out there?
I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, even in college, like when it's 4th and 1 or short yardage, like going out there and stuffing them for a turnover or even on the goal line, you know, denying a touchdown, there's no better feeling than that. Then obviously, you know, just overpowering or, you know, winning clean on a move or, you know, just knowing that you got the guy and going for a sack as well. I mean, you know, next phase for me is not just getting the sack, but also working on getting the ball out as well.
And now you get to line up, I'm sure, a lot this year and then for the foreseeable future next to Jalen Carter. What's been your thought watching him from afar as a fan? Because we've watched him here grow into maybe already the best defensive tackle in the NFL. We're excited to watch you two do that work up front together. I'm sure you've either met him or talked to him. Your thoughts on playing next to Jalen Carter?
Yeah, no, he's an awesome guy. And, you know, just watching him, you know, the last few weeks out here in OTAs, the dude's just a freak. I mean, just super athletic, super twitchy. So I'm definitely keeping my eye on, you know, how he's doing the drills, how he kind of approaches the game. And same with everyone else in the room. I mean, each one of them has a special trait or, you know, ability that they're able to bring to the field. And, you know, I'm just trying to take in as much as I can and learn from everyone, you know, to kind of get a jump start to help start contributing.
So, Ty, I got to ask you here, because, you know, you get drafted, and we're all, like, kind of cramming to learn of everything we can about all you guys that are in a part of this rookie draft class. And I'm on YouTube watching some of your highlights, and I see a bunch of pass rush plays and defensive plays. But then I see some where you're lead blocking here, fullback on the goal line. Tell us about that and how often you did it and how that whole thing came about.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in their ear quite a lot, honestly, there at Nebraska to get me in there on offense. You know, there's just, you know, such a thing, like, again, like goes back to that kind of that competitive nature where, you know, where I'm able to do my job on the defense side of the ball. But if I'm able to be used on the offense side of the ball, then why not, right? So, you know, finally when they allowed me to come over and be a fullback, like I even told them from the start, like I don't even want the ball. You just tell me who I got to go hit so we can go, you know, score or get a first down or whoever it is. And then towards the later part of the year, especially the bowl game, I was really trying hard to see if they'd give me a little handoff or maybe even like a little screen pass or something, because I was really wanting to score a touchdown. I knew if I got that ball in my hands, I was gonna score.
Well, that I love the line there when you said, just tell me who to go hit. I mean, that'll work. I mean, that'll make people happy here in Philadelphia. Our last one for you, Ty, and we appreciate you making us a few minutes, and we're excited to have you here in Philadelphia. I need your thought on this. Every time we have a defensive player on the show, I gotta tell them what my co-host here. Hugh Douglas is in the Eagles Hall of Fame. This guy had 80 sacks in the NFL, and he's been on the airwaves here in Philadelphia for years now, telling people that defense is a luxury, not a necessity. Ty, can you put him in his place here? Can you tell him how much defense matters?
Hey, man, offense, you know, they bring in the fans and they sell the tickets, mm-hmm. and defense wins games.
See?
I mean, that's the best way I could play it.
This kid gets it already. Ty, first of all.
You know, it could be a shootout, and, you know, it's, you know, 50-point game on both sides, but, you know, if your defense
Thank you, Ty. The entire audience thanks you.
Points than the other team.
That's right.
First of all, don't let him. It's way more to it than that, young fella. Don't let him drive a wedge in between us, man. We on the same page with this. It's just that the offensive guys make more money. See, they took this awesome take that I had, Ty, and they wanted to turn it into something, and now they're trying to bring you into it and drive a wedge between us. Man, don't let them
He's trying to smooth this out, Ty, because he doesn't want you not to like
him.
No, because I'm
going to get a chance to see Ty. We're going to talk. We're going to chop it up.
We'll see him at training camp. Ty, listen, man, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Good luck, and I'm sure we'll see you out of camp soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
There he goes. Eagles rookie defensive tackle, Ty Robinson.